ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's a bit like a murder mystery in which there wasn't actually a murder. There's a crime scene, full of what seems like a lot of evidence, the DNA evidence, even, bodies. But when you look closely at each individual piece of evidence, the case falls apart.
What about you? Do you think there was ever any foxes?
There were foxes. Yeah, I think that over the years, certainly, there were foxes introduced into Tasmania.
What do you do when you need to exterminate an animal that you're not even sure exists? And I'm not talking about unicorns, they definitely exist. I'm talking about foxes. In Tasmania, there has been a decades-long argument about whether they're there or whether they're not, and who is responsible, and what we should all do about it. And everyone seems to have a story.
Years ago, a photo was sent to the papers of two men in balaclavas holding up a fox they'd killed in Tasmania. But it turned out to be a fake.
This is What the Duck, and I am Ann Jones. Australians are not alone in abhorring invasive species. In the USA, they've got a list called the Dirty Dozen that aren't meant to be there. And it seems like it's just a fact of life, an artifact of colonialism, an impact of globalisation. But how easy is it to get rid of invasive animals? Like fantastic Mr. Fox.
You'd think they're hunting a dangerous fugitive, and in a way they are.
The animal's presence is that they simply walked onto cargo vessels in Melbourne before escaping on arrival in Tassie.
Forget your wood chipping, forget your oil spills. If the fox is to become established here, it would absolutely decimate our wildlife.
Possibility, they were deliberately smuggled in what could only be described as an act of environmental vandalism.
Because a lot of people I spoke to didn't believe there were foxes in Tasmania.
Ian Townsend is a former ABC Radio National journalist. Back in 2014, Ian made a background briefing program called The Great Tasmanian Fox Hunt. To be clear, there had been some colonial-era sort of attempts to release foxes for hunting and a couple of individual sort of stowaway foxes, but Luchuita, a.k.a. Tasmania, had remained fox-free. Ian's telling of the fox saga begins with one particularly apocryphal tale in the early noughties.
This was a story based on a conversation that was overheard in a car park of a camping shop in the Hobart suburb of Glenorchy. They were apparently hunters, and one had a dog that looked a bit like a dingo, apparently, and the other man said, something like, mate, you'd better be careful if that's a dingo because, parks and wildlife officers will get you. And the other guy says, they should be more worried about the foxes.
Oh, should they?
That some of the deer shooters are bringing in.
What? Bringing in foxes. The fox's absence was part of the reason why the things like bandicoots persisted in such numbers in Tasmania. The reason Tassie sheep farmers sleep through much more of the night during lambing season. What were these hunters up to?
The bloke who heard it did the right thing. He reported it. That was what started the ball rolling.
It's a time bomb.
Landline understands that fox cubs from two separate litters were smuggled into the state, reared in secret, and then let go at least three locations.
If you like, a planned invasion.
Despite a police investigation involving phone tapping, not enough evidence was turned up for a prosecution.
The original story about the foxes being introduced was pretty much scotched by the police almost immediately.
Just one of those things you hear in camping shop car parks, I suppose.
I read the police report. It was scathing. It said that there was no evidence behind this. There was a conspiracy theory. And so they pretty much closed the case very quickly. But after that, the story seemed to have permeated through parts of the Tasmanian government and society that this story was actually true.
Brought in one or several litters of cubs probably during 2000 and released them sometime. And so it's a matter of whether those animals bred or not out in the wild.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Found its way into the media, became a big story. And the government took it on board and distributed documents to schools saying that, foxes had been released and that the perpetrators were under criminal investigation. And so it was a case of really fiction becoming fact.
And of course, if there were foxes, there was reason to be concerned.
Ecological terrorism in this nut.
Blind to the scale of the looming disaster is pathetic.
If this doesn't work, if we don't get rid of foxes, it's going to cost them a lot more forever and ever.
They acted fairly quickly and started, I think in 2002, a fox eradication program.
At first, it was just an incident response, but it quickly snowballed into a full-on fox-free task force, all working on the idea that this was a preemptive approach to foxes establishing on the island. But even from the start, there was, how should I put it, there was lots of talk about the whole thing.
There were basically two groups of people in Tasmania. One group, officials that believed that foxes had come in and eventually had become widespread, and the other group of scientists who came in questioning whether that was actually true and then started to go through all the evidence and find out what was really going on.
Because it would be all much better if it was all a big mistake and there were no foxes in Tasmania.
In more ways than one, fox expert from the ABC archives in 2002... In more ways than one. Foxes are established throughout Australia. If you're in a major city right now, there's one right near you. You can't get away from it. They're seen at the Opera House in Sydney, and for Melbourne, it's estimated that 16 foxes live per square kilometre. They're found over 80% of the landmass of the continent, and there's about 1.7 million of them. Together, they eat something like 300 million native animals a year. They are absolutely gorgeous and absolutely deadly.
Across Australia, there's been 34 species of mammals that have become extinct. Two-thirds of the animal species that have been lost have primarily been due to feral cats and foxes.
And that has led to some extreme conservation responses to get rid of foxes. If you drive to Gamilaroi country past Narrabri in northwestern New South Wales, you'll start to drive through hectares of dry, open woodland. It's called the Pilliga,
which is a really important area for conservation. And sadly, it's also the location where a number of our ground mammal species have now become extinct.
David Kelly is the manager of the New South Wales Parks and Wildlife Service Threatened Species Unit.
So the project site allows us to reintroduce around six or seven of those species.
And the Park Service, along with the Australian Wildlife Conservancy, has built a huge fence to keep the foxes out.
The site itself is around 5,800 hectares.
It's known as the Pilliga Project. And when you build a big fence, you initially close everything within it, all the remaining wildlife, all the cats and the foxes too. So before you can release any endangered creatures, you have to get rid of every foreign predator inside the fence.
We initially thought it would take eight to 12 months. It's fair to say, I guess we were wrong.
Well, they were broadly right. Most of the cats and foxes were dealt with in that first period, but there was one. It's Monica Rambo, after Sly Stallone's Never Ever Die character. A fox now so famous, it has its own Wikipedia page.
We tried everything from aerial and ground baiting, trapping, shooting techniques, the use of different lures and attractants, different smells and odours. We know that foxes are attracted to disturbance, for instance, so we tried grading of trails and disturbing the ground. We implemented hazard reduction burns to increase the visibility and see if that would help us detect the animal.
None of it worked. Rambo persisted.
We tried things like thermal cameras and specially designed grooming traps. But if anything, we found that the animal itself started to become educated. It was always one step ahead and learnt some of these techniques that we're trying to employ and avoided detection and capture for 5 years.
Which actually is amazing in itself. The average lifespan for wild foxes is thought to top out at about 4 years. But inside the fence, with no other predators and suddenly flourishing small animal populations, it was fox heaven. Despite the efforts, over 3,000 baits, over 10,000 traps, and 73 stakeouts with professional shooters, it was someone else who took the trophy. Mother Nature.
In October, November 2022, the site had some extensive flooding, and we think that may have been cause for the animal to disappear. And so we haven't seen that fox since. We definitely tried everything, but I think nature won in the end.
The case of Rambo v. the New South Wales Department and the AWC shed some light on the Tasmanian response to the threat of foxes, I think. Rambo was one lone fox, and it held up a multi-million dollar program for 5 years. It shows how seriously the fox threat is taken by conservationists.
And there was a lot of evidence, actually, or at least alleged evidence.
Ian Townsend again, talking about the Tasmanian fox situation from the noughties to the 2010s.
So there were fox carcasses, there was a fox skull, and bits and pieces of foxes, and then eventually fox poo out in the wild.
Scats in the wild. It sounds like a naturalist romance film.
People became convinced that foxes were widespread.
By 2007, the task force had become a fox eradication program, which seems to indicate the confidence that the Department of Environment had in the evidence for foxes. Staff were out burying baits, then digging them up and trying to stave off the potential fox population explosion. They even had DNA proof. Or did they?
It gets a bit complicated here because the fox eradication program brought in sniffer dogs and a lot of fox poo to train those sniffer dogs into Tasmania. So it was using the poo out in the field, training the dogs. The dogs got an idea of what fox poo smelt like and went around looking for fox scats.
And they apparently found them. Yes. Something like 10,000 scats were sent for testing via the program, and 56 of those came back as having fox mitochondrial DNA. The results were published in a scientific paper in 2012 titled Foxes Are Now Widespread in Tasmania. Proof, right? Well, it's a little more complicated. The scats tested did show DNA, yes. Did they prove there were live foxes doing poos en plein air in Tasmania?
Now, Tasmania has a subculture of hunters.
Ian Townsend.
Who go hunting for Samba deer. Some of the hunters would often go to Victoria hunting and sometimes shoot foxes and bring them back to Tasmania as trophies. You know, if you think of Tasmania as a crime scene, there's fox DNA everywhere. If you go into a pub, sometimes there's a fox skin. And the fox eradication team was bringing in fox scats and training sniffer dogs.
And on top of that, rumours started to fly about members of the fox eradication team. Outrageous, contentious stuff.
Government report suggests that one or two staff members may have planted evidence.
15 of the scats were collected by one person.
The police should get involved.
$50 million.
But like the story from the camping shop, once it was out there, people repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. Just like I'm doing now, actually. An integrity commission. Yes, this fox story goes all the way to a commission of integrity in 2017. They found that there was no evidence that fox eradication staff members had undertaken criminal activity or fraudulent behaviour, but that some scat handling, including the scats they brought in for training, might not have been up to par.
We're a long way from hoaxing. Mishandling a scat, sloppy procedure.
Seriously questions the veracity of fox feces or scat evidence.
And in the end, there was one key flaw in this fox eradication strategy. The lack of actual live foxes.
And in fact, in all those years, although there was fox DNA and fox evidence, and you couldn't actually say that that was related to any fox living in Tasmania.
Right. What had started as a precautionary approach rolled into a decade and a half of arguing about foxes. And it's important to note that in other areas, Tasmania was having tangible successes in the pest eradication sphere.
It was January 1995.
Jonah Yick is with the Inland Fisheries Service in Tassie. He's the leader of the Tasmanian Carp Management Program. You know, the invasive fish.
An angler found the remains of a fish on the banks of Lake Crescent.
Ah, Lake Crescent, a stronghold in the gentlemanly pursuit of fly fishing for trout. Another introduced species, but that is a whole other story. Let's stick with carp.
We realised they were potentially established in Lake Crescent and in the interconnected Lake Sorrel. It's likely that they were brought in for probably fishing purposes. Carp have the ability to reproduce very rapidly and very effectively. An average female carp, let's say 2 to 3 kilos, could have 1 million eggs. Mm. If the conditions are correct, they can spawn multiple times during the year.
On top of that, they're hardy and eat almost any invertebrate, and they muddy the waters by sifting through the substrate.
The risk is they can outcompete any native or existing fish for not only habitat and space, but also food.
And these lakes in Tassie have endemic fish in them called golden galaxias, a fish species that is not found anywhere else in the world. So the carp have got to go.
The number one priority before we did anything else is to contain them to those waters.
No small task with 70 or so square kilometres of lakes.
So we screened off the water between those two lakes. So essentially we manage them as separate water bodies.
Okay, dividing the problem up into smaller areas. I can see how that works. But how do you screen a whole lake?
Basically a concrete structure with grates over them. So every bit of water which filters through out of these lakes had to go over these screens.
Like that predator-proof fence in the Pilliga, getting rid of carp from these lakes meant serious infrastructure and serious upkeep.
So next step is to actually start to catch the fish.
The irony of eradication is that it's easy at the start. Then, as you pull all of those fish out of the water, it gets harder and harder to find the ones that are left. A needle in a haystack. A Rambo in a fenced area. A literal carp in a lake. But there was something on the horizon that would help the fisheries.
We soon noticed that the gonads didn't look great in some of the fish. Not all of them, but some of them. They just had this almost like a jelly-like texture, and the milt that was getting produced from these mature fish looked a lot more watery than a healthy male.
Watery carp sperm, aka jelly-like gonad condition.
It ended up being a naturally occurring disease, and in the advanced stages of this disease, it was deeming these male carp to be completely sterile.
Literal, watery balls for the win. So just some stragglers were left, some watery balled males and some egg-ready females. How to find them in the open water of the lakes?
We had a small radio transmitters, and basically we caught a bunch of adult male carp, and we implanted these transmitters, and then we'd put them back into the lake. And these particular fish end up assisting us in mopping up the last of the population.
So Judas fish.
That's right. That's what we nicknamed them. Exactly right. And then the drive for them to spawn became very strong.
All the carp head into shallow waters to try and take part in a massive swingers party. Instead, they're surrounded by nets and...
And then electrofishing.
Kids, electricity and water normally do not mix.
A machine which puts a current into the water and either stuns any fish close by or it'll herd them to run into the gill nets.
And eventually, the only fish they were catching over and over again were the Judas carp. They had built walls and screens and studied the enemy. They had tracked them, caught them, electrocuted them, and cheered on a testicular disease. They really threw everything at the carp issue in Tassie.
To achieve the full eradication, it's been 28 years. From our knowledge, it hasn't been done anywhere else in the world on this scale.
So eradication is possible. There are examples in Tasmania and the world over, but it is difficult and expensive, and the scale matters. And then you add in the public.
During that whole eradication program, there was no evidence of a live fox.
Ian Townsend, back on the issue of the foxes in Tasmania.
But the amazing thing was that there were thousands of fox sightings as well.
Good afternoon, Fox Program. Jodie speaking.
Yeah, okay, there was a fox sighting hotline, and I found this recording of it in the ABC archives.
The line goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The number that was repeatedly thrown around was that an established fox population in Tasmania would be worth something like $20 million a year in losses to stock and tourism.
So at the moment, we have 1,630 sightings.
But despite that risk, the foxes became a running joke.
I've had one such call from some drunken guys in a pub that obviously a very foxy lady walked past and they called me to tell me about.
Somebody seeing a fox is not evidence unless it's corroborated. And I've got a good example of that, actually.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Ian Townsend, the former Background Briefing reporter.
There'd been a fox sighting, and I went out with the local fox eradication patrol team to see if they could find any corroborating evidence for that sighting. You know, I got up really early before dark, and I met them, and we were walking along a fence line, and off in the distance there was, you know, a gate and a house and a Shetland pony with one of those blue rugs on it. And when we reached the gate, the pony came up to us, and it wasn't a pony. It was a black Labrador. And we were all fairly good observers, I think, and these were professional, you know, people in the fox patrol team. But that's how easy it is, I think.
So what was that task force eradicating? They didn't eradicate the idea of a fox, that's for sure. That is still there at its folkloric best. Do a search on a social media forum like Reddit, and you're going to find people talking about seeing foxes in Tasmania even this year. And even with the Integrity Commission finding there was no evidence of illegal stuff going on in the program, everyone's trust was bust. There were people who thought that it was too much to spend on fox programs. Something like $40 million was spent between 2002 and 2014. But defenders say it's commensurate to the risk. And if you think that's a lot, wait until you hear what's going on over at the Neighbours in New Zealand. They're going big. Brent Bevan is from the Department of Conservation in New Zealand.
Predator-free 2050 in New Zealand is an ambitious goal to completely remove a couple of species of rats, a couple of species of mustelids, which are stoats, weasels, ferrets, and possums, and possibly in the next few years picking up feral cats as well, from the whole country. So
I notice that every time you say possums, you don't want to meet my eyes.
No. Well, all of these species are valuable somewhere. They just don't belong here.
The point here is this. The New Zealand government, plus a whole heap of other organisations and also just normal people, are going to be spending a hell of a lot of time and money and effort getting rid of exotic predators off their islands. It will cost about $300 million a year to hit the predator-free 2050 targets. That's lots of cash, sure, but they've got everything to lose and everything to gain.
I remember reading some of the original writings of Buller when he visited New Zealand right at the start, before all these introduced mammals made a complete wreck of the place. Now, there's one thing that particularly took me was they were talking about kaka, which is one of our native parrots, which are pretty well disappeared through most of the country. You know, if you see one, you think it's really cool. But they talk about them coming through the forest like the sound of a steam locomotive. You know, it was that loud as you'd get a flock of a couple of hundred fly through and arrive where you are. So it's just that complete reset in our minds as to, is we've got this normalisation of depauperisation. We need to reset, and it should be way, way more healthier than we're imagining.
And that freight train of nature, the wonder and awe of hearing species that are relying on us to get rid of these side effects of globalisation, that is why people will go to such extreme lengths to get rid of unwanted tenants like carp and foxes, or even just the idea of foxes. What the Duck is an ABC RN and ABC Science program. I'm Dr. Anne Jones, and this program was made by Patria Ladgrove and myself on Wadawurrung and Kaurna country. And look, unless you've got proof, don't email me that you've seen a fox, Tasmanians. Ooh, was that a fox?
Rain has apparently hampered efforts by a professional fox hunter and his hounds to track down the animal. The only thing they've caught is a ginger-coloured cat.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.